Hello and welcome to Knit, Design, Edit, Sleep, Repeat with Lisa Conway, Denise Finley, and Tiffany Wooten. Let's listen in and see what's happening, who's happening, and what's new in the world.
Today, Tiffany and I talk with Tunisian crochet designer Asia Martinez.
Well, hello, Miss Lisa. How are you, darling?
Oh, I'm fine.
You're all bundled up. So to catch the listeners up, I know y'all know we pre-record these. We are recording this the latter end of October. And she's wearing a fuzzy, cozy looking warm jacket that I want like three of. And she looks like she's rather cold up there. So the weather must have changed.
Yeah, it's not quite an hoodie, but it's on the same line as an hoodie. It's just not as thick. It doesn't have the lining in it. And it's got a giant pocket for my hands and a phone pocket for my phone. And if I'm really, really cold, the cowl collar comes up over my head.
I like it. I need like six of those.
And it's extremely soft and pettable.
Yeah, I need like six of those. So apparently the weather's changed since the last time we talked, and it has snowed there.
Yep.
So, yeah. We got down into the 30s last week.
But that even was as though good as I can this do. Episode will actually come out before the one where we talked about it not snowing until late
October. Oh, that's right. It is. We did record them out of order. Okay, so y'all are going to get this entertainment.
I will mention that in that episode, I did a little edit and I cut in when we had our first snow. So I'm not going to say
good.
It today.
I'm good.
They can wait till then to find out.
I like it. Yeah, I forgot we did those out of order. Well, today, Miss Lisa is stepping in for our lovely sparkle coordinator who is out with some eye issues. So y'all send her all the good vibes, all the good prayers. She needs some support. So she needed to step back and breathe for a minute. So Miss Lisa is going to help me out with an interview today. Miss Lisa, I would love to introduce you to Asia. She is my little yarn fixation. She's one of my designers. She designs for Tunisian. I think there's a crochet one somewhere in there. And her latest venture has been stitch markers that I am in love with, every one of them. And they go on all of my projects now. About the only thing I don't use them for is my cast on counting, because the light bulbs are easier than that. But, you know.
I've been spending a lot of time on Etsy lately, and I was definitely looking.
I mean, Etsy's a fun place to spend money, I'm just saying.
But I've spent so much money lately that, yeah.
Welcome to the world. It's fun. So
yarn,
this is y'all's warning.
Fiber.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, more fiber for the card drumming. So
anyway,
Asia, Lisa.
And hello, nice to meet you.
This is everybody's warning that I am scattered. So this is going to be a chaos train. So everybody, please buckle up your seatbelts or return, you know, put your tray tables in your upright positions and hold on tight, because I don't know where this one's going.
Yeah, this one might be a little bumpy.
This one's going to be entertaining anyways. So
I'm trying to channel sparkle instead of exhaustion.
Well, let's go ahead and you kick it off with the design story question.
All right, dear. Asia, please tell me about how you got into designing, why you chose to get into designing. You know, when and why did you get started?
So I was a serial pattern tester once I found the knitting and crochet community on Instagram. I met a lot of really great designers, and I work best under pressure. So having a deadline makes it so I finish things.
It's funny how lives are like that, isn't it?
Yeah. So I started that way, and then, I started my first design early 2020, and I had partnered with Kathleen with LaRue Cotton for that design. She was also the very first designer that I had ever tested for.
Y'all so are she very, was my Y'all are very familiar with Kathleen because you know I've talked about her before. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
All right. is that the Kathleen that we have interviewed? Okay.
Yes.
So no, Kathleen Gibbs.
No, that was Catherine. That was Catherine. This is Kathleen.
Oh,
two different beings. We do it all the time. Right. Well, the names backwards all the time. So anyways. Okay. Continue.
All right.
So yeah, she dyes cotton. I live in South Florida, so I love wearing cotton. Because it's just too hot most of the time for wool. I tried Tunisian crochet with a pattern test and I fell in love with it. So I decided to start designing in Tunisian. And I've done a few designs. I work full time, so not very many, but I have gotten a few done.
I mean, it happens. But well, her Tunisian designs are very beginner friendly. So anybody who wants to jump on the Tunisian train, these are really good patterns to jump on the train with. I'm just saying.
Okay. I'm going to throw a second question out here before you get to your first one, Tiffany, because
go for it.
You talk about Tunisian as though it's a separate thing from crochet. And yet I'm hearing Asia say Tunisian crochet, which is the way I'm familiar with it for the last, you know, like 40, 50 years because I'm old.
You're not that old, but okay.
Oh, hey, I have a birthday coming up.
Oh Lord, everybody watch out. She's going to be asking for gifts.
Is Tunisian like a different stitch in crochet? Or is it a separate craft?
So, I'm going to let you answer
you
this
talk
before
about it
I
like
give
it's
my
a
answer.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
So I feel kind of conflicted because I think it is a separate craft because it is different for sure than crochet. It's kind of like knitting and crochet had a baby, and that's what happened.
100% how the way I look at it as well.
Yeah. So like a lot of the stitches are similar, you know, like you do chain stitches and stuff still like you do in crochet. But to me, I find it easier to take like knitting cables and translate those to Tunisian as opposed to crochet cables. So,
okay.
Yeah, so it's kind of like a good mix of both.
It is very much a blend of the two crafts. And yeah, I'm lazy. I call it Tunisian instead of Tunisian crochet because, you know, at this point, I figure everybody's used to hearing me call it Tunisian crochet, that they're going to assume that Tunisian I speak of is Tunisian crochet. But it is very much a blend. And she's right that the cables are more knit-like because you will put them onto a stitch holder and hold them to front or back, and then you will stitch, and then you'll put them back on and stitch from there and all that. So, yeah it is very much a blend.
Yeah, and for the most part, I mean, except, like, the very beginning of the row, you're working with more than one live stitch at a time.
Truth.
So.
But frogging in Tunisian is much like frogging in crochet.
Yeah.
Because if you know what row you want to end on, you stick a stitch marker in that first stitch and you can rip all the way back to there. And just like crochet, it stops right there at that stitch marker. Unlike knitting, if you're not careful, you're going to pull three rows at once and not realize it.
Yes.
I may have just done that last week.
that does really help my mental picture because I've always seen it more like a separate stitch mm-hmm. in crochet that like you said could replicate knitting.
Yeah.
So that description of the two having a baby makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
I think the abbreviations and the way that the patterns are written mimic more crochet than they do knitting.
Yeah.
So I think that's part of the problem. But at the same time, like she said, you're working with multiple stitches at one time, and then you're building the stitches differently than you would in knitting. So it's a whole beautiful little train that's a lot of fun to ride.
It really is, and I haven't really done well. I as Tiffany knows, I'm kind of what you would call a baby crocheter, even though I've been doing it for 50 years because I've never moved beyond the straight-sided, you know, blanket kind of crocheting.
I mean, there's a lot of people who never move beyond that. And a lot of people are happy there. I've enjoyed finding the other crafts, and I somehow managed to pick up knitting needles. Don't ask to look at the sock and we're fine. So. All right. So Asia, who do you stitch for? Whether it's crochet, knit, Tunisian, whatever. And then conversely, who do you design for?
So I mainly make for myself, but I also am one of those people that likes to hand make almost all my gifts. I have lofty ambitions early in the year. So, you know, I always try to say that, oh, I'm going to make everybody socks or whatever for Christmas. And, you know, I usually get through like half my list. And
how many
then
important people are at the top. That's all that matters. I mean,
yeah, you know. I mean, that's how I look at it. And then, you know, I alternate between my family and my husband's family. So, everybody gets socks every now and again. And then designing, I also kind of design for myself. I mean, I live where it's very hot, so I like to have things that have room and, you know, some ease and just comfortable to wear, because I do work a lot. And when I go out and I'm not working, I like to be comfortable. So,
I mean, that's the thing, especially, I don't know if we've said it already or not. She lives in South Florida, y'all. So it gets very, very warm down there with all the humidity and all the temperature and all the things.
Yeah.
Which is funny. What, looking at my screen, I've got the two polar opposites of the U.S. I've got one who's bundled up to her neck because she's so cold. And I've got one in a t-shirt who's like, is the air conditioner even on at this point? So.
Yeah.
Yeah. The one that absolutely had to turn on the heat, like, was it a week or two weeks earlier than I wanted to this year.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I turned it on the other day and we had all the dust burning off, and that was entertaining. My kid came out. She's like, what is, or actually it was my husband came out and he's like, what is that smell? I said, I turned the heater on, and he was like, oh, and I was like, yeah, it was kind of chilly. So
ours doesn't do that because it's on more often than it's off.
Yeah, I don't know that feeling. I live in Texas, so I'm just saying.
I don't think I'd ever turn the heater on here.
South Florida, that's accurate.
Yeah.
All right, Asia. So how many patterns have you published to date?
So I have two that are self-published, and then I have two now that are published with We Crochet, and one more that is in the process.
I'm so excited about the We Crochet stuff, y'all. Y'all have got to see these patterns. Like, they are so great. I just...
Yeah.
She's the first pattern in which ebook is it?
I am first in the Expanding Horizons. I was the cover for Expanding Horizons, and then I was the first pattern for the Big and Little. So it's like Mommy and Me patterns throughout
the
whole thing.
She's got a Mommy and Me. For all of the people who love Mommy and Me, there's your Tunisian call on that one.
Yes.
That's a We Crochet collaboration. And then y'all, my girl made the cover. She made the cover. I'm so excited.
Yeah. Okay, that was like, when I saw the cover, I screamed. I was so excited because I didn't know until they were like, they sent out the email like, oh yeah, we published. And then I like clicked on it and I was just like, oh my God, like this is so exciting. So
exciting. Yeah. I'm so proud of you.
Well,
I'm so proud of you for jumping in with them as well, because that's very intimidating.
To be such a new designer and to get that kind of pat on the back. I mean, that's huge.
Yeah, absolutely.
Congratulations.
I was shocked. Thank you. Yeah.
Y'all, and then Big and Littles is like scrolling across the front of crochetnow.com or We Crochet's website.
Oh, that's exciting. Like, yeah, that I am so proud of that pattern. I've never designed anything for kids before, so to go from, you know, kids all the way up to adults, like that was
what
stretching of the brain power.
What sizes was that one? Now, y'all, I didn't edit these because they are We Crochet publications. These were edited by somebody else. She did come to me for like, hey, how does this look? What do we think? We did some idea bouncing. So even if you need idea bouncing, you don't have an editor, I will help you idea bounce. Lisa will help you idea bounce.
Amen.
But you can idea bounce all day long.
I'm happy to do that with you.
So for the child sizes, it starts at a 20 inch like chest measurement and goes all the way up to a 30 inch. And then for the adults, it's 34 to 66 for the finished.
Look at you. You hit and a big range.
I have to know, do you do your own grading?
Yes. Yes. That one.
That was a big job.
Yeah. So especially for someone like me that does not feel overly confident in math, I was like, I don't know about this, but thankfully I can use spreadsheets. So that worked. But yes. But yeah, I'm really, really proud of how that one came out. So it's definitely my most intricate. I tend to stick with more like classic, you know, kind of just like maybe show off the yarn or, you know, basic texture, but this one, it has cables and stuff, so it was definitely much more intricate than any of my others.
That's
and
amazing.
I love it.
Yeah. That's amazing. That awesome. Congratulations. Really, really good.
Thank you.
So proud of you. And then what, so the other one, so that's the Mommy and Me. And then what was the big texture on the other one? Because since it was just a New Horizons, you said is what it was called. What was the big draw on that one?
That was Expanding Horizons. That ebook was all.
Sorry.
No, okay. That one was all Tunisian patterns, so that was pretty cool. It uses the honeycomb stitch, so it has like really great texture all over.
Y'all
which I love
the honeycomb. Let me tell you, you and Rob.
Well, I mean, yeah, but I mean, it's just like it's so great and it's so easy. So
yes.
You know, like
100%.
You can get a lot of benefits for very minimal work.
Yeah, you can. And it's really easy to change the colors and therefore change the look.
So Miss Multitasker, you have,
I'm already working on the links. I'm already working on the links.
Thank you very much.
Y'all, I got links for you. Don't you even worry about it. I'm already halfway there. So that's awesome. Because
I'm keeping my hands in my pockets.
Y'all, when I tell you she's bundled up. Like she's cold. So. Well, Asia, I'm so proud of you for jumping in, because it's very intimidating for jumping in with We Crochet. So we're going to loop back to that here in.
Doing anything where you're talking about putting yourself out there in that kind of a forum, the competition is huge.
It is.
Their specifications can be so picky. I mean, even the most minute thing can get it kicked. That's a big deal. That is so awesome.
So proud of you.
Yeah. So, I mean, I wouldn't even consider applying to a magazine.
So to keep it real, let's just go with the transparency for a second. This was your fifth application?
No, actually the Tunisian one was the Tunisian one. They're all Tunisian ones. The Expanding Horizon one was my very first application for We Crochet.
Oh, okay.
The cables was probably my fifth. So okay. I did do like others in between that did not get selected.
Okay.
That's why I was so shocked, honestly, with the one being the cover, because it was the first time I had applied for that first pattern published and like not by myself.
Y'all keep that in mind. Like it's not. Yes, she got chosen on her first one because it was an amazing pattern. But at the same time, do not be scared to put yourself out because she didn't get selected her second time. Her third time or her fourth time, it took until her fifth time to be selected to be able to do it again.
That's a really good point. Just keep on trying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and
let's keep the transparency there just for.
Yeah. And I do think the fact that the first time I applied was to an exclusively Tunisian crochet, you know, ebook that they did definitely helped. So cause I think. There doesn't seem to be a ton of Tunisian crochet garment designers,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's
there's not
pretty much all I do. So, you know, I think for them to have like a good variety to include, you know, garments as well as accessories, I had a decent chance, but yeah. I was still shocked and surprised and excited.
Now that Tunisian, the honeycomb one, this is the one we were talking that could be worn either way, right? Forwards and backwards, if I remember correctly. I know it was. No. I know it's written. You know, with the V-neck.
And yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, you probably could. It's not like the V-neck is kind of what creates like the where it sits comfortably. Yeah. So I didn't do like short rows or anything.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I couldn't remember. So, all right. So I just wanted to create that transparency for everybody so that everybody understood that, yes, she has been selected. Yes, she has worked with a big name. However, comma, it was not an immediate thing. So,
yeah.
Right.
And it, you know, you just have to sometimes find the perfect mood board or, you know, call description or whatever. You never know.
And that's
so,
a big
I've applied
thing
to too, a lot of other things and have never been accepted. So,
yeah, and that's the thing too, is like you can read every mood board and they're, you're just going to read them and you're going to look at them and be like, eh. Because like, yeah. I love you. I don't see you creating a winter top. Like you could, like, I'm not trying to be just, you know, discrediting.
No.
You know, discrediting. I told y'all it was chaos train, but you know, you could, but at the same time, you're only going to wear it like what? Once every 5 years when you travel kind of thing. So
yeah. Yeah.
It's
so
soft,
yeah,
so
yeah, the one that I have that's still in the process with We Crochet is a winter sweater. I don't think I will ever wear it. Like, I love it. It's a really cute design, but it is so hot. Like, even just like trying it on to make sure it was fitting, I was like, oof, like, we gotta turn the AC way down. It's like a bulky weight yarn and everything.
Yeah, like, that doesn't work well. Yeah, that doesn't work well for South Florida. Well, then I stand corrected, y'all. She made a winter sweater. Look at that. She proved me wrong yet again. I love it. Love it. I love it. All right. So we're going to do Miss Sparkle Coordinator's favorite question. And I have to throw her in there for it. She would want to know, where did you get your username and your your username handle from? Where did it come from?
So
she loves
mine,
this question, and she loves the stories.
Yeah, so mine, it's all thanks to my husband, because I am the worst person for naming things. I will debate 40 different names forever. So instead, I decided that he would name it. I had wanted to start a blog after finding Sorella, and so I was like, you know what, I think I can do this. I can blog. And he was going to make the website for me. And so after talking, he kind of came up with it. And it's yarn fixation, so it's kind of like a yarn obsession sort of thing. And that fits very well with the, you know, massive yarn hoard that I have going on in my house right now. So
I like how inclusive it is, though. Like, fixation and the obsession in the obsessive version, and then like it's all things yarn, like it doesn't pigeonhole you down,
right? And that's the other thing too, because I mean, at the time when I started it, all I knew how to do was crochet. I hadn't even learned like Tunisian crochet or anything, so I wanted to have something that wasn't going to be like, you know, this is my crochet blog, you know.
Yeah.
So because now that I Tunisian crochet and I knit and do stitch markers and all that stuff, and it all still fits.
Yeah, I like it. I like it.
I like that too. I like the fact that it is broad. You know, it lets you expand without holding you in. What our very first interview on the podcast was with the Sockmatician. And one of his biggest regrets is he named himself the Sockmatician before he decided to design. And all he did was socks at the time. Very, very rapidly, he quit knitting socks completely and moved into double knitting.
Yeah.
But he was stuck with Sockmatician.
Yeah.
So, you know.
That's one of those things that we all learn at some point, you know, to be able to do that. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Anyway, do you ever crochet other people's designs? And if so, why? If you do. So. what is your motivation for doing other people's designs?
I like sometimes to be able to make things without having to think too hard and do all the math myself. I like learning new things, and there are lots of people that know way more than I do. So, finding a new stitch or whatever that I can learn from someone else is always really exciting. And I also just
Good
really like to support other designers. So, I will do that. I love testing patterns. I've tested a couple patterns recently for Catherine, for her Socktober socks.
Her Socktober
And
socks, yep, because that ebook is out, and
yeah.
I'll have to find that one.
And yeah,
I have to
I love
hand it to
making
you guys who
socks.
do tests. I really do. I avoid them because I don't think I could knit fast enough.
Yeah, so I have recently with job change, and then I'm going to grad school right now. I have decided that I will only be testing socks because I know that I can make a sock in about 2 days. So that's all I will do.
I mean, that's a fair limit for yourself though. Like that's a good thing
Yes.
to know
Okay.
your limit on that.
Can we kind of delve deeper into that for a second? Are these crocheted socks or knit socks?
Knit socks.
The ones we're
And
talking
you
about
can
now are
do a
knit.
knit sock in 2 days.
Yes. I have made a pair of socks in 2 days, but yes, I can comfortably make one sock in 2 days.
With
So, I
stitch
mean,
patterns and all of that.
yes,
Okay,
it's
I'm
better.
just
It's
a
better if it's.
ridiculously slow knitter.
No,
Slow. I'm a slow knitter too.
I think I am oddly fast at socks. I am not fast at anything else.
Socks
But
are
it's.
very much her happy place.
Oh,
What
yes.
is
And.
your preferred method of knitting socks? Double pointed, magic loop,
9-inch circs.
9-inch circles.
Yes. That is all
Okay.
I will make socks on. But yeah, and I have also, I make an extra small, so like very small circumference. And I don't have, I wear a size 8 shoe, so I don't have like very big feet either. So it's pretty
Okay, but
fast for me.
even my husband's socks are shorter than a size 8 shoe. And I just did a pair of DK weight socks for him that took me, well, admittedly, they were not my only project at the time. I rarely knit just one thing at a time. But what was
Monogamous
it, 3 weeks?
making is just, it's a thing. Like having more than one thing to make is much more, I find it much more relaxing because when you need that brain break, you can just switch over and you've got that new make to work on.
Yeah,
So,
there's
anyways.
always the project that takes more brain power, and then the socks that I can throw into the car. And now that I'm a permanent passenger in the car, socks are my go-to knitting in the car. Although I got in the car to go to the doctor yesterday and looked at my husband and went, "I forgot my knitting."
That's the
Hey, when that
worst.
happens,
That was a
yeah.
real bummer. Okay. What kinds of things do you find inspire your designs?
So mainly the heat. So I like to have things that I think are really pretty and classic that I can wear kind of all the time, but also are not super heavy. I do tend to work with cotton, so all of my designs are seamed, because it just gives it the extra structure. And then also with Tunisian, you can get some really great texture without really trying that hard. So I like texture too, as long as it's not going to be like too much, like too distracting all over. So I'll do that if I find like a really cool stitch that I like. That's really inspiring. And then also having some really good friends that are yarn dyers, the yarn is definitely inspiring. Kathleen, she just, all of her yarn is just amazing to me. And I could just go on and on and on about how much I love everything she makes.
No. You have a preferred base. Do not even
Well,
attempt to lead these people on and say you do not have a preferred base. I will call you
okay.
out on that.
Well, yes, because I do love the vegan sock base, as it is the only base that I will make socks for myself in. It is the greatest base ever to touch this planet. But I do love all of her bases, you know, like her cotton DK is what I made my first pattern in. So that one has a special place in my heart, too.
I mean, look,
finding a cotton dyer, a cotton indie dyer, is a lot harder than finding, you know, the super wash and all of that. Find a good cotton dyer. You want to just like support that person any way you can, right?
That's one of the things that Kathleen prides herself on, is the fact that she's got a lot of different bases that are non-wool. She started cotton, and she'll tell you the story at some point, I'm sure. But she's her big thing was cotton, and she was looking for something non-wool, so she started it, and she is quite amazing at it. We're not going to leave that on at all. So,
I definitely love Kathleen. So, and she was my first fiber friend, and so we're just very close.
Yes.
Yeah.
Have you ever felt like designing wasn't worth it? Like, maybe this just isn't for me, or I'm not good enough, whatever, you know. Have you ever felt like giving it up?
Yeah, especially since I am such a slow designer, you know, comparatively speaking. You know, I mean, I have self-published 2 patterns in 2 years, almost 3 years now. So yeah, I mean, it does feel like a lot of work for very little financial return, but I love seeing like when people make, you know, a thing that I have designed, like that is so exciting, and it makes it worth it. So, and then like with the We Crochet stuff, I mean, to, you know, have a design of mine on the cover, that made it worth it for sure. That was so exciting. And like, yeah. And it's like, you know, one of the proudest moments of my life. You know, so yeah, it may not be, you know, my job where I can support myself, but it is fun. And I do really enjoy it.
Cool.
Enjoying it is one of the things that I think we all have to remind ourselves sometimes. It's the journey, not the actual end result. So
yeah.
Well, especially in this business.
Yeah.
There's very few people who can actually make it their sole income anymore.
Yeah.
Right. The ones that some of the older designers that came from the design world, I mean, they went to college for it, and they, you know, that was their path, had a different path to walk, because they were also walking a commercial design versus designing and self-publishing and being the whole business, right? Yeah. And I know designers now that came from that realm, and they look at this independent designing world that they're now stuffed into, and they're like, it's you know, having to be the whole ball game, the entire business. That's really tough.
It is really tough, and it's hard for a lot of people. And that's why a lot of people, they stop after a couple of patterns, and, you know, and it's a reason, it's a justifiable reason, but you know, even if you only do one pattern a year, you know, whatever makes you happy. All right, so this one's going to be a leading question, and I'm sure you're going to figure out real quick where I'm going to go with this one, because, you know, I'm like, y'all, I'm ecstatic about this stuff. I can't even lie. So you have an Etsy shop.
Yeah.
And we're not talking the Ravelry shop. We know your patterns are in your Ravelry shop. And yes, people, I will have the links for you. They're already in the thing. They will go out in show notes, I promise. So you have an Etsy shop. What's in your Etsy shop, my love?
So I have stitch markers that are like my regular staples. And then right now I also have a winter countdown box of stitch markers that is Dart Frog themed. And it
I'm
is very exciting.
I'm excited about this. Like, I can't even begin yes. to tell y'all how excited I am about this. So, okay. So what made you get into the stitch markers? And what are your favorite, like, what continues down, sustains you down that journey, I guess is the best word to put it. Because, you know, chaos train over here. I can't find my words.
So I wanted to find a different way to be creative than just designing garments, because designing garments is very time consuming.
It is.
Stitch markers are a bit more instant gratification. So that's always good. Yeah. So I decided that I wanted to do that. Kathleen, again, for her 2021 holiday countdown box, I asked her if I could make the stitch markers for her box, and she said yes. So that is how I got started.
Love them, by the way. Those are two of my favorite markers. Continue.
Yes, it was definitely a big learning experience. I tried different types of stitch markers. I did resin. I did watercolor. So yeah, I tried a lot of different things, kind of figured out what I liked, which is the watercolor. Mm-hmm. So I did that. And then I also wanted to make something that I could use for knitting and crochet, since I do both. And so I really got behind that. I found some clasps that I like, that they're circular, but they still open, so you can use them for crochet. And then they're not super heavy, so you can use them for sock knitting, because I do that all the time. And they're pretty big, so you can use it for like your bigger needle sizes too. I think it's like a 8 millimeter, so it's a pretty big needle.
I've used mine up to a 5.5, so yeah, we're good. Y'all, yeah. I so, you know, she's one of my friends, so I had to support her, bought a set shortly after she put them out.
I want to ask, you say you do your stitch markers with watercolors, so you are painting the design for every stitch marker.
Yeah, so some of them are more abstract than others, so like just kind of like color themes and, you know, like speckles and that kind of thing. And then some of them, like the Halloween countdown ones, are a bit more intricate and a lot more time consuming.
The Halloween countdown she's referring to is the one where she partnered with LaRue Cotton again, where they did a Disney villains themed countdown box. That is what she's referring to. The photos will go up in the next pair of weeks. I'm sorry, I had to show the backstory in.
If you'll get photos to me, I can add them to the show notes.
Because this will be after that point. So yeah. One of us will take photos and get you photos.
That would be
so, yeah.
fantastic.
These photos, these markers are great, y'all.
When you have a design that you're replicating for multiple markers, do you paint the first one and then replicate it, or do you paint every one?
Every one is hand painted.
Girl, so, yeah. you are
they're amazing. Yeah. They're amazing.
That is absolutely amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, I look at it as like a much, kind of like, you know, hand-dyed yarn. Not every skein is going to be the same, but that's just kind of the way it works. You know, it's all individual, and that's how I like the stitch markers to be too.
Yeah, letting people know that are going to go look at your stitch markers, that each and every one of those was handmade.
Handmade each time.
That is amazing. That they need to know.
Yeah, so I bought a set of her markers shortly after they went on sale, and there's a couple of giant ones that I use as my beginning of round ones, and each time I hit the beginning of round, it feels like a complete medal of completion. Hey, you just finished this last round. Congratulations. And I use her markers for everything. Like, the only thing I don't use them for is my cast on counting, because the light bulb markers are just easier for that, but y'all will get to see the pictures in the show notes, but I showed off the stitch markers for the advent, because I suddenly dawned on me when we were chatting beforehand that I hadn't opened my box. So of course I opened up the stitch markers, because we were all on video and Asia and I share we like seeing reactions. So She was laughing at me while I was opening them. So Lisa got to see the markers that are in the box.
I got to laugh at you a bit too, because you got so excited that you're showing them and
I'm dropping everything. Yeah, I dropped everything while I was showing them. Yeah. So
the chaos train began.
The chaos train's been around all day. So the other thing that, as I recall, I chewed you out the last time that you and I talked about your Etsy shop was, what's the other thing you have in your Etsy shop that I didn't know about that I was very offended about?
Yeah, so I have 3D printed storage containers for stitch markers.
They are great, y'all. So, and they keep all, they hold all of the markers beautifully. And you're not trying to scramble to put them into anything. They hold all of her markers perfectly. And I'm done.
See, in addition to my Christmas list happening.
Oh yeah, all day long. And she's got the winter advent coming up. I'm just saying.
So. Yeah, and that one is really fun. Like the container for that it's great. I love the Halloween one that I did with Kathleen, but I think just as like a standalone thing that's not necessarily themed, the one that I have for my winter advent is pretty great.
Oh, it's awesome. Like if I think I know what I think I know, it's awesome. And the whole thing is just going to be beautiful. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
So anyways. Okay, cool. So
we've talked about what's coming for the stitch markers in terms of the winter advent. What else is waiting in the wings?
So I have a design coming in summer of 2024 with In Tandem Zine, which it's a self-published zine. I know that you guys have interviewed a few of the other designers. And then I also, for spring of next year, I have a design with Sam of Beachy Breeze Fibers. I'm going to use her non-superwash fingering base.
Love her colors. Her colors.
Yeah. Okay.
So the winter sweater.
Yeah. So it's going to be in spring. It's a fingering weight sweater in Sam's Delta line, which is her non-superwash line, which is my favorite yarn base from her. It is so squishy and wonderful. And it's going to be it's going to be a cabled sweater again. I had this idea after the Mommy and Me pattern that I wanted to do some sort of like really big, chunky kind of big cable. And even though it's going to be fingering weight with Tunisian, you can make a fingering weight seem more like a DK. So that's what I'm going with. I think it's going to be really exciting.
Cool.
I love Sam's yarn. It's so squishy.
Yeah. So Sam squishy. Is great.
Yes, she is. Very much so.
Okay. Oh, this list of indie dyers you guys are introducing. Look,
I never said I was a good influence. Let's be very, very frank on that. I never said I was a good influence for anything.
Enabling in my book is just the way it goes.
I mean, that's life right there. That's all it is enabling. And, you know, you have to share the amazingness.
That's right.
Okay, so you said Enzyme. You've got the winter sweater with Weak Crochet. The cable thing with Sam. Your Christmas. Or not Christmas. Holiday Advent.
Winter Advent. Is there anything self-published coming? Or are you strictly working with the various magazines at this point?
No, I mean, I do have some self-published things. I'm like 2 weeks late getting this pattern to Tiffany. Oops.
That's actually on par for you. It's all right.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, I'm just, you know, life happens and I'm very slow to get 100%. Things finished. Yeah, so, but yeah, I have a lot of samples made up. I just need to write a lot of patterns. And I have some, it's mostly Tunisian stuff, but I have some sock designs too. I think I have three now that I would like to write up.
Cool.
Yeah, that's the one thing you haven't written up yet. As our, you know, small group sock queen, you have not written up a sock yet. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I just, I am.
See that one coming.
I make them a lot, but I am terrible at writing down the patterns. So
you know, you're not the only designer in that camp. So don't feel bad.
Never, even ever. Not even a little bit ever. Yeah.
A friend of mine who is also a designer has a shawl that was designed 3 years ago, 4 years ago. I'm still bugging him to get it written down, and I'm not the only one bugging him to get it written down.
Yeah.
I mean, that sounds familiar. I usually run in that camp too, so that's a thing.
Yeah. Yeah, the pattern, I'm super late getting to Tiffany. I had the sample made in May.
Let's be clear, y'all. Late is her terms of late. I'm not panicking yet. I'll start panicking in about 3 weeks. Yeah. I learned the timings of my designers. What can I say?
Yes, we do.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and it's a tank top, so it's going to be released next year, you know, so I feel like that takes a little bit of the pressure off, but I really just want to get it, I just want to get it done, because I made the sample so long ago, you know, I mean,
yeah.
Tunisian or regular?
Tunisian, okay. And it's cabled, and it's made, again, with Kathleen's yarn, it's her Tencel DK base.
Ooh.
Yeah, so it's super silky, and very... very like cool, you know, it's kind of silky and just very nice. So
I need to try that one. I haven't tried that
and
one
Tencel
yet.
Yeah. It must be pretty drapey too.
Yes. Yeah. It's a lot like the Lion Brand Trubu. So just like, yeah, super drapey and.
But it doesn't stretch the way that Trubu does after it's worked, right?
Yeah. I mean, you definitely have to steam block it as you're going. That way you don't end up with something that's huge. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, because I know it grows like exponentially after you use it.
Yeah, Tencel does too. So like with this one, when I was making it, I steam blocked it every couple of inches and just like stretched it and just blocked it and then kept going. So that way I could kind of get a more realistic measurement for it.
That's
so
totally accurate.
Yeah.
Interesting. So next question, and one that we like to ask all of our designers, is what advice do you have for someone who is thinking about becoming a designer or is a brand new designer?
Get a tech editor.
So. That was not prompted, I promise.
No, it was not.
Yeah. No, definitely, though, because, I mean, you know, it's the same thing with, like, editing your writing. You can't read your own stuff and find all the mistakes, you know, you have to have somebody else look at it. Yeah. You know, cause you know what you're trying to say, but that doesn't mean anybody else does.
The brain is a funny thing.
Yeah. And then I also think it's really important to remember that nothing is ever going to be perfect. You know, it's not ever going to be the perfect design for 100% of people. You know, I mean, I think a lot of designers put a lot of pressure on themselves to make everything be exactly what everyone is looking for. And that's just never going to happen. You know, I think a lot of people get into, you know, fiber arts because they want to make their own clothing. And so a lot of people know how to, you know, make adjustments or whatever. And, you know, you want to, you want to make it as inclusive as possible, but you know, sometimes people will take it. And even if they would have fit within your pattern as written, they'll still want to change things, and that's just kind of the way it goes. It's art. Well,
and it's true. One of the things that I will constantly say about grading patterns. You can't grade in everybody's type.
Yeah.
You're grading for a specific range and standard, and then each crafter needs to understand the difference between their body and the standard body, because we're none of a standard.
Yeah.
And we can't design standard to everybody. It just, trying to explain that to some designers has been a challenge, that no, I can make this range go from 32 to 66 or 32 to 70, but there's going to be bodies in there that this design doesn't fit quite right, and they're going to have to modify.
Yeah.
That's because there's just no way you can fit putting bust darts into a pattern has got to be like the world's hardest. I think bust darts are harder than sleeve caps.
Seriously. I've never done either, but it sounds terrifying both ways.
Because, you know, shaping a set-in sleeve is truly an art form. And then trying to make it multiple-sized is like, but
yeah.
Putting in bust darts in a pattern and having that bust dart lay where the person's bust really is, yeah, they're going to have to modify it. They're going to have to. There's just no way that you can design it and have it fit everybody. It just doesn't happen. So, yeah, understanding that your pattern is going to not fit every single person is, that was a really good one.
Yeah, so it's taken a lot of, I would, honestly, this year for me to really kind of accept that, you know, I mean, it's, I've been doing so much research and I kind of just think I got overwhelmed by the amount of information. And then I was
just
like,
that's a very easy thing to do. Get overwhelmed by the rabbit holes.
Yeah. And then I was just like paralyzed because I'm like, I don't want to make something that's not going to work. But at the same time, I mean, it will work. It just may not be perfect for everyone. And they'll just have to make adjustments just like I do because I have the world's smallest torso.
And that's why we craft. Right?
Yeah. I wish I had that problem.
Make the modifications so that they fit the body that we're making for.
Exactly. Yeah. And knowing how to make your modifications specifically for you is what you have to learn as you go through making. And that's, like you said, that's why we love doing it. So, So I'm going to piggyback on the back of that question with an extra, because I know you love me for those. Any advice for those who want to do the We Crochet or Knit Picks or do any of these open calls? I know at one point, and I've been very bad with my newsletter. I'm sorry, y'all. It's been a year, okay? But I usually try to share any open calls, any open designer calls, that kind of thing. Do you have any advice for those who want to do those, even if they have never designed before? What do you have any words for that?
Yeah, so I definitely think just go for it, because a lot of times, like, I never expected really to get accepted with the first time I put in a submission for We Crochet. You know, I didn't think it was going to happen. And then I have put in with other yarn companies and I didn't get accepted, but you know, you just keep trying. And then if it doesn't work out, you can always self-publish, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So. And that's what I always tell you guys is that you've got an idea, write it down. If they don't take it, then we run down the self-publishing route.
Yeah, and exactly.
It's a great option. And little known fact to pretty much the whole world, I actually put in with We Crochet on a winter board. I guess it was last year. I think it was last year I put in. I didn't get accepted. No big deal. But, you know, I actually did it. I was very proud of myself for doing it.
Yeah. So. And I mean, I think you have to celebrate those things because it is putting yourself out there. And sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't. But.
And
it happens.
Anybody who tells me that they put in with anything like this, and Asia will tell you because I've done it with her, I don't know how many times, we celebrate the fact that you even got the gumption up to put it in, because it's hard to hit send. It's hard to build it out to be able to put it in with anybody, and it is hard to hit that send button. So.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I know that the cabled sweater, my mommy and me pattern, I had submitted that to someone else first and they said no. And then I turned around because We Crochet had the mommy and me thing. And I was like, all right, well, cool. I can grade it for kids too. Why not?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, sometimes you have to tweak things, but it might just work out. So try.
And that's a good idea too, is that if it doesn't work for one, see what you can do about maybe recreating it for another one. So that's a good idea too.
I love that. You know, don't put yourself in a box.
Don't pigeonhole yourself. Exactly.
Yep.
Just because somebody didn't like it doesn't mean somebody else won't like it. Exhibit A with Ezra. And then, you know, and it's like, you know, like we said, if you don't get accepted by them, okay, great. write it out. You can self-publish it. And guess what? There's somebody in this world who's going to love it. And it's going to be their favorite make in the world. So,
yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. So to round out this chaos train ride this time around, where can everybody find you, my love?
I am most active on Instagram at yarnfixation. I love to talk to people in my DMs, even though I am a, you know, super introvert. I do love chatting over the internet. That's great.
She does the faceless chatting well.
Yes, I do. And then my Etsy shop is yarnfixation.etsy.com, and my blog is yarnfixation.com.
And so. A Ravelry shop too, right?
Oh yeah, Ravelry is yarnfixation blog.
Okay, and I don't remember. Are you on Lovecraft? I don't think you are.
No, I'm on Threadfolio though, as Yarn Fixation.
Oh, that's what it was.
Yeah.
I knew there was another one. I was like, what's the other one?
Yeah, I always forget Threadfolio, but that one's pretty great. So, like, it's a nice platform.
Well, there you go.
Now, okay, I know that was supposed to be the last question, but please tell our listeners, what is Threadfolio? Because I've not heard of it.
It's just another platform for selling patterns. It's pretty small, mainly, I think it's mainly crochet, but I could be mistaken. I haven't looked at it too closely recently.
It came about with the Ravelry kickback, we'll call it. The Ravelry issues that were had.
So they're a growing platform.
They are.
Yeah. So, but it's just another place that, you know, you can get patterns. And you know, I know some people don't like buying patterns on Etsy, so it's another
option. I've heard some designers say that they have really good luck selling on Etsy. Do you put yourself published on Etsy?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So they can find you there as well. All right.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, Asia, I'm going to publicly say thank you for coming back. What our listeners are not aware of is this is poor Asia's second time around doing this because we had technical challenges with the first one. It was uneditable. I'm just going to say it. It was. I tried. There was no way. So thank you. I really appreciate it.
I think we got a better interview this time around than we did the first time. So we'll just call out for rehearsal.
You know, and that's hard to say when our sparkle coordinator was part of the first one.
Yeah, I mean, we do miss the sparkle coordinator and her input on it, but we actually, I think it's because you were further along in you hadn't come up with with your holiday advent yet.
Yeah.
And you hadn't come up with the other patterns yet, and you hadn't had quite as much going on. So I think that's why it works better this time.
Anyway, thank you very much, Asia. Thank you, Tiffany, for taking time out of what is a very busy time of year for you.
It's a ridiculous time of year, but it's all good. So it runs and it rolls. So, all right. Well, you have anything else, Miss Lisa?
I really don't. Let's call it a day. Let's go kick our feet up and get some food.
I think there's a burger in the other room for me. So, Asia, my darling,
so
as always, it was lovely to spend time with you. You know I love you. So,
all right. Nice to meet you,
Lisa,
Asia.
Lisa, you stay warm.
Thank you.
All right, y'all. This concludes the end of this version of the Chaos Train. You may now return your chair tables to their upright positions. You may unfasten your seatbelts when this cabin has come to a full and complete stop. And may y'all have a lovely week. Bye.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.
Next time, Tiffany and I talk the creation of and the writing patterns for socks.
Don't forget to like and subscribe wherever you listen, and join the conversation in our Ravelry or Facebook groups. For show notes or knit tech editing and related services, please visit my website at arcticedits.com. To inquire about crochet tech editing and other services Tiffany provides, please go to wootcrafts.com.